Morning. Today's daf in Sukkah, daf Yadal. We're on the very top. If you get a moment base, thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned. Lezecher Nishmas, Lois Altman Lupin. The Gemara is now a continuation of the discussion we had yesterday. Schach has been the topic of discussion. It continues to be the topic of discussion. Yesterday we touched on topics such as flax. Can I use flax as schach? So the Gemara told us yesterday that once you start processing the flax, it grows on the ground. So again, we have our three big rules when it comes to schach. It has to be gedulim and arts, the karka. It has to grow from the ground, and it has to be telshim and a karka. It has to be detached from the ground, and it can't be formed into a kli. It can't be mekabel tumah. So flax seems to qualify. Flax you took from the ground, you detached from the ground. Sorry, grows from the ground, you detach it from the ground, and certainly to make it into a kli. So the Gemara told us yesterday that if you start processing the flax, so then it's no good. And why should that be? So we discussed yesterday a couple of possibilities that Rashi brought down, because once I start processing it, it's not subject to tumah, not subject to regular tumah, because it's not yet a kli, but Rashi says it's subject to tumas negayim. Okay, by nega, by tumas sarah, so there's a special halacha that even flax in its quasi-unprocessed state is subject to tumah. That's how Rashi explained it. I told you yesterday the pshat in the Rambam. Rambam says because it starts to look synthetic. It doesn't look like it grew from the ground anymore. Once you start processing the flax, basically you looks like you have some sort of sheet that you hung up. Once you start processing it, that's the problem. Okay. So anyway, flax cannot be used towards schach. And then the Gemara continued, and we discussed a number of various halachas over the course of yesterday's daf and daf yud gimel. We talked about bundling. Because we had the gzeras otzer. Really, all this emanated from the Mishnah, going back to daf yud beis. Daf yud beis introduced us to the idea of gzeras otzer, that there's a decree made that once I bundle the schach, there's a possibility that I'm going to just throw the schach on top, bundled on top of the sukkah for the purpose of its drying, and then afterwards, after a month or 2 months or whenever sukkah comes around, I'm going to look at it and say, you know what, good, so that's my sukkah right there. And it's a violation of Tasav Alamanasu. I didn't make the schach, I didn't place the schach there for the purposes of shade, I just simply left it up there to dry. And that's obviously no good. And so therefore, anytime that you bundle schach on the top, that's no good. You violate Xeris Otzer. Excuse me. Okay, so and yesterday we talked about the definition of bundling. What is considered bundling? Three. One is not bundling. Three is bundling. What about two? That's machlokas between Tanaim. We saw Mishnah in Pare yesterday. Okay, and that brings us to where we are right now. We're on the top of Yigim Lamed Beis, and we are continuing from the in terms of the discussion of what I could use for schach vis-a-vis bundling. Darsh Marema got out and publicly said, Hani Asuraisa Desura. He's the Raisa Desura. If you take a look at Rashi, Chavili Kanim. So they are bundles of reeds. Shein Osim Limkor Beshuk. They're meant to be sold in the marketplace. And they're sold by count. So in other words, so I have a bundle of reeds, they're bundled. So at face value, I would have said before Marema came out with his statement, no good. There's a Gzerah Derabbanan, rabbinic decree that any time that your schach is bundled, it's no good. What did Marema tell everyone? Haina Yisuraisa Desura Misachin Behu. So he comes out with a heter, a kula. I know the rabbinic decree of Takanas Otzer, of Gzerah Otzer. It's okay, you can use this bundled schach. Alpha Gav Da Agdan, Liminyana Ba'amahu Da Agdan. But his argument is, yes, I know it's bound up, but that's only because it's sold by count. So in other words, its binding is only for the purposes of count, and so that doesn't qualify as a binding, and therefore one may use it for schach. It's only when the binding is there for the purposes of transportation, of carrying it from one place to another, then and only then is it considered a binding vis-a-vis the gzeras otzer. Okay, so a kula. I'm Rabbi Abba Hanitzrifa Duravani. Okay, the huts. Huts used by the bird trappers. Okay, by the bird trappers, bird hunters. Okay, so basically they made for themselves a makeshift hut. Rashi describes it. I can only describe it for you. If you have a picture, that's better than my description. So, but basically you had a bunch of ravos, explains Rashi, it's willows, and they were long, extraordinarily long, and it was tied in a bun on the top, so really tight on the top, and it was tied loosely on the bottom, but that's it. In other words, only had two ties, had a tie on the top and had a tie on the bottom. Okay, and what Rashi says, what the hunter would do is he would wait inside this willow, basically camouflage. He would wait inside the willow and I was going to say shoot the bird. Okay, somewhat anachronistic. I'm not sure if they, I don't think they had guns back then. Maybe bow and arrow. Okay, whatever. However the hunting was done. Okay, so we're just trying to describe what the tzrifa are, what these huts are. So Am Rabbi Abba, Hani Tzrifa, Du Rabbani Kevishu Hutra Rashi Ma'adanim Shalahem Ksherim. So you only need to untie one side, right? You untie the top, is the way Rashi describes it. You untie the top, so that's fine. So the Gemara notes, why should that be fine? V'ha Gidim et Tasai. Okay, but you only untied the top. It's still tied from the bottom. Am Rav Papa Deshari Lahu. So Rav Papa says, okay, you untie that as well. Okay, that's answer number one. Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, Afilo Temet Alo Shari Lahu. Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua says, not unnecessary. An unnecessary answer. Meaning you untie the top and that's enough. You have now removed yourself from Gzeiros Otzer. Why? Because at this point in time, yes, it's true, it's tied still on the bottom. But you're not going to be able to carry it anymore. Meaning now that you untied the top, that bun on the top is untied, you can't carry it from one point to another point. And again, an egged by definition has to serve a particular function. The function is to be able to carry it from one point to another point. Once you untie the top, I can't carry it anymore from point A to point B. So therefore, it doesn't qualify as an egged anymore. Again, a second kula regarding egged. So we've given ourselves over the course of today. In other words, we have a gzeiros otzer. In other words, once I bundle schach, I can use it as a gzeiros derabbanan, rabbinic decree. But as the Gemara noted, however, we have a number of kulas, this being the most recent. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel. Okay, everyone get ready for an interesting Gemara and a slightly difficult Gemara. Okay, one of our rules are, once again to repeat, I mean, you cannot say this enough, grow from the ground, detach from the ground, and it cannot be Mekabel Tumah. Okay, cannot be Mekabel Tumah. So what we've been doing, what we've been illustrating over the past couple of days is, I can't make it into a kli. So if I take wood, now you make it into a kli, so I can't use that as chach. If I take cotton and I make it into a fabric, into a sheet, so I can't use that for schach because I made it into a kli. Okay. But that's not the only thing that's mekabel tumah. What else is mekabel tumah? Food. So you know what I can't use for schach? And it would think, and it's somewhat counterintuitive, but I can't use food, meaning food that grows from the ground. So I take a cluster of grapes, and I cut it from the vine, and I throw it right on top of the sukkah. Okay, great, schach. No, it's not good. Because the grapes are mekabel tumah, it's a food. So we're not going to talk right now about fruit. We're going to talk about vegetables. Okay, vegetables are great. Vegetables can be, especially the long greens. So couldn't they serve as schach? Right, you get some big stalks of lettuce, and use it as schach. So that's going to be our discussion. So we're going to discuss vegetables in a number of contexts. So the Gemara says like this: We are on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud, about a quarter of the way down. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Yerako Sha'amru Chachamim. So let's talk about vegetables. Adam Yotzei Behem Yedei Chavasa VePesach. Okay, so in other words, first of all, the Braisa says that if you were speaking about particular vegetables that could be used for Maror, fine. Okay, we could be talking about other vegetables as well, but right now we're talking about vegetables that a person could be Yotzei Chavasa, fulfill his obligation for Pesach, Mevin Es HaTumah, V'ein chotetzin b'fnei ha'tumah. Okay. This first part over here is going to be extraordinarily difficult. Mevin es ha'tumah, v'ein chotetzin b'fnei ha'tumah. Okay, we know that when a roof is above a mace, the human remains, so it does one of two things. Number one, assuming it's a roof, it qualifies as a roof, it stops the tumah from going any higher. Okay. Number two, it takes the tumah, spreads it under the entire area of the roof, and drops it wherever the roof may be. So anytime you have human remains and a person or a kli underneath sharing the same roof, so the tumah goes up, hits the roof, spreads out, and drops back down again. So that is number one, chotzitzin es ha-tumah. It stops the tumah from going up, and mevin es ha-tumah, and spreads it to anywhere else under the roof. Now, if you look carefully at what the Gemara says, the statement of Rav Abba Amar Shmuel, he says that regarding the vegetables, it's mevin es ha-tumah, v'ein chotzitzin b'fnei ha-tumah. Okay, and needless to say, that should confuse everybody, right? So, if you take a look at Rashi over here, mevin es ha-tumah, v'odan lachem. So Rashi writes that while it's still wet, meaning the vegetables are still fresh, so they're substantial, so mevinas atuma. So if the vegetable can serve as a roof. And as long as it's not dried, it qualifies as an oa midaraisa. We'll stop over there in Rashi. Okay, this part of Rashi obviously begs the obvious question, meaning it's going to serve as an ohel. Why? So because it's substantial. It's substance. Okay, it's a food. Meaning, what are we talking about right now? We're talking about vegetables. Okay, a vegetable is a food. Generally speaking, we say that once something is susceptible to tumah, so the tumah is going to, in other words, it absorbs the tumah, and generally speaking, the tumah goes right through it. Take a look at the previous Rashi. Yirako shamru chachamim, we're going to move backwards one in Rashi. Bepesach she'adam yotze b'em yedei marach, chazaras v'olshem v'shar chavrasem, dakos heim. Okay, so Rashi just simply says there's various vegetables that we use for Pesach. Ein chotzitzim b'fnei etoma, im sichech b'hem gag. So let's say I use it as my roof. I line the vegetables as my roof. Rashi says the fact that that tuma doesn't stop. It doesn't stop tuma from going up. Rashi says that's a din derabanan. Because the concern is as follows, explains Rashi. That right now the vegetables are fresh and they're wet and they're moist. But what happens with all vegetables, right, we have refrigeration, so we're a little bit insensitive to this, but we know vegetables dry up. They dry up, they shrivel up. So in other words, vegetables are interesting because while they're wet, they serve as a barrier, and they could actually form a roof. But when they dry up, they shrivel up. They basically almost disappear. And Rashi writes, Miu be'odan lachin chotzitzin mida araisa. But as long as they are wet, they are chotzitz mida araisa. Okay, mishum delom mekable tuma. Rashi says the vegetables are not mekable tuma. Get ready for the next line of Rashi. Delav meichel adam ninu, because it's not eaten by human beings, says Rashi. Ulechiyavshi ein chatzitza san chatzitza k'dem mefarsh to mefarchem v'nafle. And again, the reason why it said so. In other words, it serves as an oil, serves as a roof, and the reason why it's not chotzitz b'fnei tuma is because we know it's going to dry up, and because it's going to dry up, so therefore the chachamim basically said it's not going to stop the tumah from going up. But while it's wet, it really serves as a ohel, it serves as a tent. Okay. Rashi over here begs an explanation. Really, the Gemara begs an explanation, but even when Rashi explains the Gemara, Rashi begs an explanation. Because essentially what Rashi's saying is, well, you know, if I make a roof out of vegetables, so it's really a roof. Oh, what about the fact that a roof cannot be mekabel tumah? So Rashi says, yeah, these vegetables are not mekabel tumah. What about the fact that the vegetables are food? So Rashi says, well, the vegetables are not really food. They're not edible by humans. So if you take this Rashi out of context, so next time, I don't know how well your children know Masechta Sukkah, but the next time you say to your kids, eat your vegetables, so your shalom will say to you, yeah, but Rashi and Sukkah Daf Yigimel Amud Beis says that vegetables are not really eaten by people, and why should I eat my vegetables? I consider myself to be a person. Okay, that's good. Now that's good, by the way, but you'll rebut, right, that's a great argument provided by your child. You'll rebut and you'll say, no, but wait a second, aren't you? With Pesach, we have a mitzvah to eat maror. And he just said, meaning, Rav Huna just got done saying that Yotze Yudei Chavaso the Pesach, meaning you eat it on Pesach as your maror. And obviously by maror, it's a mitzvah achila. So what is Rashi saying when Rashi says, oh, it's not really a food? Hard to understand. So, without Tosfos, it'd be nearly impossible to understand. So, Tosfos writes the following. Now, I'm in this long Tosfos, but we're just going to take out a section of it just to help us understand what Rashi is talking about when Rashi says that the vegetables are not eaten. More than halfway down in the Tosfos, where he writes, the Hagah Haisa Shigia Rav Yehuda Beferish Rashi, he writes there was some sort of emendation, some sort of correction, or not a correction, but a note attached to that of Rashi. Delo mekable toma. So what's Rashi talking about when Rashi says that the vegetables are not mekable toma? Mishum delav Michael adam ninu, because it's not edible by humans. What's he talking about? Ve'ein okein ela Michael adam hein. So first of all, it is edible. Okay, I mean, just to pick apart at Rashi. Rashi says it's not edible. So Tosfos says no. Of course, it is edible. V'afilu hachi chaitza midaraisa kol zman shelo hochsheru. But then Tosfos over here says, do you know why the vegetable serve as a roof? And do you know why Rashi says it's not makabel tumah? Not because of lack of edibility. Your vegetables are edible. Okay, so much for your child's argument. Your vegetables are edible. The issue over here is it didn't come into contact with liquid. We know that in order for any food or any vegetable to be makabel tumah, it needs hechsher. It needs to first come into contact with one of the seven liquids. Then and only then is it mukshel lekabel tumah. Now is it susceptible to tumah. The liquid, don't make a mistake, the liquid is not what's making the vegetable tameh. It's making the vegetable susceptible to tumah. It makes it ready for tumah. The way the Sefer Chinuch explains it is that your vegetables and your fruit are not really finished products yet until they come in contact with the liquid, which by water is so easy to understand, but by blood, it's difficult to understand, blood being one of the seven liquids. But anyway, the point is, it's not mukshel lekabel tumah. So what Tosfos is doing in explanation of Rashi, it's not a function of edibility. Your vegetables are edible, even when they're, right? Of course they're edible. The Gemara says so. What the Gemara means is that the reason why your vegetables serve as a legitimate roof and the reason why they're not makabel tumah is it's not yet mukshel lekabel tumah. That's the way Tosfos understands Rashi and not for what is written inside Rashi. What about the fact that Rashi actually says, lav machal adam ninu? So Tosfos says, in other words, somebody wrote that in Rashi, it requires a correction. Okay, fine. Good. So, when all said and done, now let's go back to our Gemara. Now we have a somewhat better understanding of what's going on in our Gemara. So, your vegetables, number one, point number one, you can eat them on Pesach. Point number two, they are mevienis atumah. And again, according to Rashi, that means while they're wet, they serve as a legitimate roof, and we'll add Tosfos' point, it's not mukshel lekabel tumah, so therefore it's not susceptible to tumah, so therefore it serves as a roof. And it'll spread the tumah. Ein chotzitzin bifnei atumah. Now let's see if we can understand this line. When the tumah hits it, the tumah is going to shoot up. What do you mean shoot up? It's a roof. How's the tumah going to shoot up? Because we know the vegetables are going to wither, and we know the vegetables are basically going to disappear, and so therefore, rabbinically, the tumah continues to go straight up. Uposlim misuka mishum avir. And now, we get all this comes to our point, which is, now what if I use vegetables as my schach? So the Gemara says it's no good. But the Gemara says it even stronger than that. More than it's no good. Do you know what that vegetables is considered? It's considered airspace. Meaning, you see where those vegetables are right now? Look at it as if it's air. My time, because we know it's not going to last. We know the vegetables aren't going to make it to the end of Sukkos. And so therefore, in its current state, because I know about the fragility of the vegetables, and I know that they cannot make it 7 days, so as a result of that, even right now, Bashir Husham, the vegetables are simply not regarded. And therefore, they're considered airspace. And we're going to learn together in a short couple days from now that when it comes to airspace, only 3x3 tfachim possel your sukkah when it comes to just airspace. So over here, the Gemara is telling us a really huge chiddush that vegetables is considered no greater than avir. It's air. Good. Okay, adkan. Adkan divrei ha-gemara when it comes to vegetables. Good. Eat your vegetables. Don't use it as chach. It's interesting. I don't know. This is a halachic issue, and as you know, that's not right. That's not my cup of tea. But that's not my cup of tea. But it's not. You know, I'm not the person to go to. But right. This happens with me when I use the fronds. When I use the fronds, so I know that day one the fronds are whole and intact, and I also know that they're going to dry up and they shrink and they reduce. So obviously they're not like the vegetables. The Gemara's assumption over here by vegetables is it totally shrivels and it totally disappears. But still, in other words, sometimes I usually lay a thick coating on top. But sometimes what ends up happening is I have to add more on over the course of Sukkos. Okay, from this Gemara, it sounds like that's not that it's no good, but it's something to take into consideration. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. All right, that was topic number one. Topic number one was vegetables. Topic number two. Okay, there's a Masechta at the end, towards the end of Taharos. I think it's the end of Taharos. It's Masechta Uksin. All right, the Masechta Uksin deals with the handles of a food. Now, let's talk about a cluster of grapes, just as a simple example. Okay, cluster of grapes, so obviously the grapes themselves are food. Right? It's a grape. And therefore the grapes themselves are mekabel tumah. Okay, it has to come into contact with the liquid, fine. But the grapes are mekabel tumah. What about the vine itself? Right? What better way to describe it? Or whatever, the vine. Those twigs that hold the grapes together. So are they mekabel tumah? No, they're not a food. So in of itself, it's not mekabel tumah. But if they are there to facilitate the handling of the grapes, meaning when I pick up the grapes, I pick it up by the stem. So therefore, it has a status of what's called a yad. And as a yad, it itself, even though of course it's not a food and of course it's not edible, but it's now considered an extension of the grape, and therefore it too will be mekabel tumah. And so now, we're going to now advance the discussion. So now I throw on the top of my sukkah, I throw a cluster of grapes. Okay. If I have more grapes than I have actual stem, then obviously there's nothing to talk about. I mean, the majority of my schach right now is schach pasul. But let's say I have more stem than I have grape. One could still make the argument my schach isn't good because the grapes are mekabel tumah and the stems themselves are yados. And as yados, the stems themselves also are mekabel tumah. This is now the discussion we will have from here until nearly the Mishnah on Yudal Amud Aleph. So let us begin the discussion. Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rav Huna, Botzo Lagas, Ein Lo Yados. Now, if I harvest grapes, then I do so to put it into the wine, to make wine out of it. So the stems don't have the status of yad. As Rashi points out over here, the Mishnah Nuksan says it, a yad only has status if you need it, if you want it. But if you have no interest in the stems, so therefore, it doesn't have the status of a yad. When I want to take the grapes and put them into a press, I don't want the stems there. Even if they're there, I don't want them there. The Gemara will tell us momentarily that the stems end up absorbing some of the wine. I simply don't want them there. So the fact that I don't want them there just simply now means it doesn't have status, and it's not mekabel tumah, which in the world of schach is what we want. We want the stems not to have the status of a yad because we don't want the stems to be mekabel tumah. Good. Rabbi Menashe. They're not a kli. A kli is something which is fashioned into a functional utensil. They're just simply an organic part of the vine. But they could have status because they facilitate the handling of the grape. And again, the point is that if I don't want it there, so then it's not gonna have a status of a yad. Rav Menashe bar Gada amar Rav Huna hakotzel l'schach ein lo yados. But if I harvest, now Rashi says we're not talking about grapes over here, but we're talking about stalks of wheat. Let's say I harvest the stalks of wheat, and my purpose is for the schach. So ein lo yados. So there, the stalks don't have the status of a yad. Meaning, because remember now, if I'm harvesting stalks of wheat, what's at the end of the stalk? A kernel of wheat. So in other words, there's food right on my schach. So obviously the food by itself is no good. That can't be used towards schach, it's mekabel tumah. But I don't want the food, I want the rest of the stalk for the purpose of my schach. So the statement of Rav Menashe is, that's fine. And they don't have the status of a yad. Okay. Now, mandam or kotzer, kol shekein botzer. Now, if you were the author of statement number two, meaning Rav Menashe, you're for sure going to agree with Rabbi Abba. However, delo nichale, delo nimse lechamre. Because as I explained earlier, but here's the Gemara that says, because when I'm cutting the grapes for harvest, for making wine, I don't want the stems. The stems are there just to absorb some of the wine that's coming off the grapes. I don't want them there. So there, I clearly don't want them. So they don't have the status of a yad. But man damer botzer shein lo yados v'kotzer yesh lo yados denichale delesichech bohu yehechid lo liv deran. However, if you were the author of the first statement that when I cut the vine for production of wine, so there the stem doesn't have the status of yad. But you probably, or the Gemara says absolutely, will disagree with the second statement, which is that if I'm harvesting the stalks of wheat and I throw it on top of my sukkah, the stalks themselves have a status of a yad. Why? because you want the connection between the wheat kernel and the stalk. Why do you want the connection? So the Gemara explains, because the wheat kernel provides weight and substance to the stalks. If it were just the stalks by themselves, they'd be flying all over the place. So I want that connection. Because I want that connection, it now has the status of a yad. Once it has the status of a yad, now I have a problem. Because the kernel of wheat is a food, it's mekabel tumah. The stalk of wheat is now a yad la'ochel, and that too is susceptible to tumah, and that obviously would become a problem.
No, the thing that you, the fact that you need it for its weight, you don't need it really as a yad. You're not used for it as a yad.
Right. What's serving what? Meaning it's the right. It's the wheat serving the stalk, and it's not the stalk serving the wheat. I hear you. The Gemara doesn't seem to make a distinction. Okay, but anyway. Right. In other words, right, so they don't spread out. Agreed. Okay. Name of the Rabbanashi Bagada Tanahi. Okay, so now the Gemara is suggesting. Good. So now we have seen together as two statements, one by Rabbi Abba and the other one by Rabbanashi Bagada. The statement of Rabbanashi Bagada says that if I harvest the wheat stalks to use in my schach, so he says that's fine. And the stalks themselves don't have the status of a yad. And what the Gemara now is going to suggest is this statement is not only controversial, but a machlokes tanaim. Ditanya. The Gemara quotes a brisa, suchitainim behem teinim. Sorry. Suchitainim teinim uvahem teinim. Parchilan uvahem anavim. Kashin uvahem shibalim. Mechavdos uvahem tamarim. So any one of these leaves or growth, where basically I take the leaves and the stems, and I take the fruit together with it. Kulam im psulas, merubas alach ochlan ksherim, v'imla psulam. So the Tanakhama's viewpoint is very simple. Take a measurement of what right now is the majority in terms of actual square area. If there are more leaves, stems, and non-food items, non-edible items, right, which is more than the actual edible part, meaning the fruit, you're good. And if there's more fruit than there are leaves, stalks, and the non-edible part, so then you're not good.
You're not concerned with the idea that
food is mekabel tumah? Yeah, right. In other words, the food itself is mekabel tumah, so that's chach pasul. The stalks and the stems and the leaves are not mekabel tumah, so therefore, you just look at whatever the majority, and whatever the majority is going to basically be the defining point, and therefore, if the majority is leaves, you're good. If the majority is fruit, you're not good. Good. That's the position of the Tanakhama. Wonderful. And acher momrim, achu kashim merubim al hayados va'al ha'ochlim. Now, according to Acherim, that's not how you measure. You don't measure edible versus inedible. You measure edible with the yad, with its stem, against everything else. In other words, what side is the stem on? It's not on on the schach kasher side. It's on the schach pasul side. Why? Because the stem is a yad. A yad facilitates the handling of the food. The food is mekabel tumah. This stem is also mekabel tumah. So according to Acherim, the yad has the status of yad ochel, and therefore it falls on the side of schach pasul, not schach kasher. Okay, good. That is, so we have a machlokas in the brisa between the Tanakam and the Acherim, and now the Gemara explores this machlokas. My la ba'akim if look at the marsava yeshla and yados marsava ein la and yados. So the Gemara says the machlokas seems to be pretty straightforward. Whether or not the stem of the fruit taken off the tree has a status of yad or does not have a status of yad. So la rabbi abba vadai tanaihi. So now the Gemara goes back up to the machlokas between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Nashi Bar Gada. Look, from the standpoint of Rabbi Abba, we have nothing to say. It is simply a machlokas tanaim, clearly. But Ella Rabbi Nashi Bar Gada milema tanaihi. But according to Rabbi Nashi Bar Gada, now remember, his statement was that if I harvest the wheat to throw on top of the sukkah, the whole stalk with the wheat kernel to throw on top of the sukkah. So what was Rabbi Nashi's statement? The wheat obviously is a food, but the stalks themselves don't have the status of a yad. So what the Gemara will try to do is defend him and suggest that even though we just saw Machlokas Tanayim, the Machlokas Tanayim remains outside of his position. How could that be? So, mi lema tanai, amalacha, Rabbi Nashi, dekuli amazarbe kotzel schach, en lo yados. So what Rabbi Nashi will explain is like this. Look, these Tanayim actually will agree with me that if I cut the stalks for the express purpose of putting up on Tamai Sukkah, so for sure the stalks don't have the status of a yad. Clearly. But what's going on in the Braisa? What's going on is it was the stalks were cut for the purposes of achila, meaning they were cut so that we can harvest the wheat kernels, and therefore the stalks have the status of a yad, and then I changed my mind, and then I wanted to use the wheat stalks for my schach. So e coach the achila my time under Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's think this through.
You change your status.
Yeah, so in other words, so now a change of thought can actually change the status. So the Gemara says, and does that work? Meaning when I originally cut it, I cut it for the purpose of achila. And then I changed my mind. Is that changing my mind enough to change status? Generally speaking, we say very soundly, no. It doesn't. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Mishnah and Kalim. Kol HaKalim Yardin Leidei Tumah Memachshavim Vein Olim Mitumasa and Ela Bishinu and Maisa. The only way that I can change the status is only by a physical change in the item. Right over here, Rashi gives the example. Right, let's say I'm working with leather hide. Leather hide is a raw, unprocessed material. And I cut it to the point where, yeah, that's what I want. Right, I want is, let's say, a mat. So I cut it to the size of a mat. And now, good. So as far as my machshava is concerned, it's the finished product. And then afterwards, I'm thinking, you know what? I'd like to continue. I'd like to process it further. I want to make it into a pair of shoes. So even if I just change my mind, that's not enough. Meaning it doesn't lose its tumah status until I actually start physically manipulating it. So when it comes to a change in status, one machshava cannot undo your original machshava. Even with a declaration, it's not going to help. In other words, to change the status of an item,
it needs.
Let's keep it simple. So machshava over here, even with a declaration, it's not going to change the status of an item until you do a physical change in the item. And the Gemara spells it out: ma'isa motzi miyad ma'isa or miyad machshava. But machshava ina motzi alom miyad ma'isa v'lo miyad machshava. If you physically change the item, now we could change its status. But if all I do is just rethink what I wanted to have done with the item, that does nothing. That doesn't help you at all. It's good. So now the Gemara wonders, now that we have this Mishnah on Kalim, so how do we understand the Tanakama? Here's what we suggested. I originally cut the stalks of wheat for the purpose of achila. Fine. So certainly the wheat itself is mekabel tumah, and the stalk is a yad. And then what did I do? I changed my mind. No, I want to use it for schach. Okay, but that's not going to help you. A change of machshava is not going to change its status. I mean, yes, but and I don't know if I could generalize to that degree. But yes, in this regard, correct.
Well, changing the mind is not enough. You got to do something.
Well, okay, well, let's just deal with the yad status, the yad issue. V'chitem ahani mili kelim dechashiv eva yad tzulat zorach achilan ena b'machshav anayisav b'machshav asalka. And the Gemara says, well, maybe you'll suggest the following. Of course we have the Mishnah and kelim. Of course we have a rule that when I have an original thought about a particular item, so a second thought is not going to uproot my first thought. Fine. Right, that's a Mishnah and kelim. What am I going to do with it? That's dogma. That's the rule. However, maybe what we could do is we can make a distinction between the kli itself and what we're talking about. We're not talking about a kli. We're talking about a yad. Maybe in the world of yados, the rules are a little bit different. Because what is a yad? A yad is just simply a facilitator. It simply allows me to handle the food. So maybe we could be a little bit looser in what makes and what breaks the status of a yad. That's none. But the Gemara says, okay, but now we go to a Mishnah in Uksin. This was inevitable, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Yados. Kol Yados HaOchlin, Shebisasan Begorin Tahoros. If I have the handles of food, meaning the stems of food, so only if I'm boseth them in the Gorin. Now you notice I left that untranslated. So either A, I don't know what the translation is, which is always possible, or B, the Gemara is going to talk about what the translation is. Let's go with B right now. Shebisasan begarin, so if I have the handles of food, we're in the granary. I was boseth them, So then they're tahor. Meaning, they only lose their status of a yad only after the point of besisa. Now, question. What does that mean? What is besisa? So bisham laman dam rabasasan hitir agudan shapir. Now it happens to be this is subject to a machlokas, which we're going to see in just a moment. Now, if I hold that bosis, means that I just simply untie it. Now, is that an actual physical manipulation to untie the bundle? No. We were debating a couple of days ago of whether cutting something is a, considered a an asiyah. Is that a physical manipulation? But here, untying, that's in terms of a maisa, is really nothing. So, if bosis actually means to untie, which is one possibility. So you know what? The truth of the matter is, we're good. We're kind of good. Meaning, we now have a pshat, a viable pshat. That in the world of Kalim, I have to do a physical maisa to change the item from one status to another status. But by Yados, you know what? Maybe a machshava would be good. But Ella Mandamra, my bisasan, basasan mamish. But if boses means to start crushing and grinding, what we typically do in a granary, so maikalamemar. So in other words, so that means that the stalks only lose their status when I do a physical manipulation. And that would mean then that the yad, the changing of the status of a yad would be no different than the changing of the status of a kli. So the Gemara says, Hachanamish Bisasan Mamish. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you know what? We're talking about where I did actual besisa, meaning we did a physical change. So the Gemara says, okay, so he did a physical change in order to change the status of the yad. So to which the Gemara now wonders out loud, okay, but we know that we have now successfully explained the position of the Tanakama. The Tanakama says that if I originally cut it for Achila, and then I'm now doing besisa, so it loses its status of a yad. Great. I get the Tanakama. Now what about the Acherim who argue with the Tanakama, who say that it doesn't lose the status of a yad, and it's still susceptible to Tumah, and it still is considered Tzchach Pasal, not Tzchach Kasher? But I'm mashing it up. How come it doesn't lose its status? The Amar Rav Yosi, the non Rav Yosi Metame. So the Gemara says, well, we could just simply attach the Chachamim's position to that of Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi disagrees. Rav Yosi says, even after the point of Besisa, it still is Tame. It still has the status of Yad. Hi, Mai. Bishlam Asam Tame to Rav Yosi Chazelich, Rabbi Shema Malakish, Amar Shema Malakish, Hover Uyasahov Chan Be'eter. So the Gemara says, you know what? Look, for Rav Yossi's standpoint, I get it. We're in the granary, we started crushing it, and even still, the stems don't lose their status of a yad. You know why? Because I'm in the granary, I want the handle still connected to the food, so that when I take my fork, my pitchfork, I could still flip it over. So they have purpose, and it still has function. So the Gemara says, but over here, if I have now the stalks, which I want to use for my tzchach, and I'm doing a physical manipulation, I'm clearly indicating that I don't want the stems as a status of a stem for the food anymore. So, lamai chazia, why in the world would Rav Yosi / Acherim say that the handles still have the status of a yad? So the Gemara says, l'chisei salaminka lehu b'gilayhu. So the Gemara says, no, it still has purpose for me. Because think now, at the end of sukkahs, what do? I take down my sukkah. Okay, putting up your sukkah, super exciting. Taking down the sukkah, right? Maybe not so exciting, right? But if I have the stalk connected to the food, it'll make it a little bit easier for me to take the schach down from the sukkah. So maybe what we could argue is it still has some function, some use, and it still has the status of a yad. Okay. We can now breathe. That was a difficult discussion in the Gemara. But basically, let's just quickly summarize. Let's wrap it up, and then we're going to review this machlokas between the Amoraim. But basically, the question on the table is as follows: I take stalks of wheat and I cut it and I use it as my sukkah. Good or no good? Well, the actual kernels of wheat themselves cannot be used as kosher tzchach. It's a food. It's mekabel tuma. So that's certainly not going to counter as tzchach kosher. Okay, but what about the stems connected to the stalks of wheat? Well, we have a concept of yados. And the concept of yados tells us that not only are the stalks of wheat considered mekabel tuma, but even the stems it's attached to also is going to be mekabel tuma. So one could simply argue that the Yados themselves are also going to have the status of being mekabel toma, and so therefore not only is the wheat not going to be schach kasher, but the stalks themselves are also not going to be schach kasher. Okay, and then fine. So and that's the basic question of the Gemara. And then in terms of the subtleties and the minutia, then the Gemara discusses, well, what if I cut it l'shem achila? What if I change my mind? Is changing my mind going to be enough? By a kli, we know it's not. Maybe the rules are different by Yados. And this is where the Gemara gets obviously much more intricate. Gufa. As long as we quoted the Mishnah in Uktzin, the Gemara says, can we just go over it one more time? And as Rashi points out over here, the Bavli will do this. Being that we have no Gemara on the Mishnayos and Uktzin, right? We know this in the Daf Yomi, right? We've gone through all of Shas, and the truth of the matter is, as you know, we haven't. Okay. One of those things where every time I think about it, it's like it's a little depressing. Meaning, we go through two thirds of Shas. Okay. But when the Gemara hits a Mishnah and Uktzin, so the Gemara says, can we do that again? It's a Mishnah Nuksin. We don't, as long as we're learning just the Gemara Bavli, we don't get to see these Mishnayos. Rav Yossi Mitami. So we have a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, where I take the stalks of wheat, I throw them into the granary, and I start doing Bisisa. So the Tanakhama says it's Tahor, and because it doesn't have the status of Yad anymore, and Rav Yossi says no, it maintains its status as a Yad. Now my Bisisan. So the Gemara now goes over. We did this already, but again, the Gemara just wants an opportunity to go over it again. My bisasan, Rav Yochanan Amar, bisasan mamish. Rabbi Elazar Omer, hitter agdan. So in the machlokas, in terms of what it actually means. It means I actually started pounding and grinding the stalks on the floor, or just simply means you untied it. So bishlam ala Rabbi Elazar Omer, bisasan hitter agdan, hainu tamid to Rabbi Yossi. So I actually understand the position of Rav Elazar, because if all you're doing is just untying it, and I'm not doing a real physical manipulation, so then I understand the position of Rav Yossi is, it still has status, because I didn't do anything, I just untied it, and apparently the Tanakhama would argue that this is not a kli, this is a yad, untying is enough. Fine, I could see a split decision over here, I could see a machlokas actually being formed. But Ella, Rabbi Yochanan, Damar, Bissa Mamish, Amai Mitame, Rabbi Yossi. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, where Bissisa is the actual pounding, I'm starting to actually grind and thresh the stalks in the granary, so then I'm doing a physical manipulation. Why should the stem still have status? So I'm Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Hover Uyosofchem Be'eter. So he says, because he could still flip it over with a pitchfork, I still like the connection between the stem and the food. It still will help me in terms of turning it over with the pitchfork, and therefore it, to me, has purpose and value. And that's why even with a physical manipulation, it still is going to have a status of a yad. Okay? And our two lines of Agadata today. We just talked about the pitchfork. You know, the tefillos of tzaddikim, it's like a pitchfork. But where do we see this? So Rashi brings down, beginning of Parshas Toldos, Rivka goes into her corner, Yitzchak goes into his corner, they daven, and the Torah describes it as vayeyaser lo, right? Ayin, tuf, resh. So the Gemara says, lamalacham, ma'eter zem ha'peches tefuah begorin, just like the pitchfork turns over the stalks of wheat in the granary, mimakom mamakom, from one place to another, aft tefilas neshal tzaddikin mehafeches dato shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. The tefilas of tzaddikim are able to be mahapech. They change kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, changes the mind of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, mimidas achzarios to midas rechmanios, from being an achzar, from being cruel, to having more compassion. That's your agadata for the day. Okay, back to Mishnah, back to Halacha. Okay, big discussion coming up now in the Gemara. Let me just give a quick introduction to our next discussion. We touched on this earlier, but here's the Mishnah on Daf Yudalit. Okay, our rules of Schach, it has to be growing from the ground, detached from the ground, and not a kli. Good. So one can make a very simple argument. Let's talk now about beams. Beams, wooden beams. In other words, trunks of wood cut down, and then shaved into 2x4s, 1x2s, okay, in other words, into a rectangular shape. Good. Kosher tzchach or not kosher tzchach? Well, before we start with the Mishnah, before we begin with the Gemara, the argument would be very simple. Perfect. What's wrong? It's not mekabel tuma. We talked earlier about how wood, in order for wood to be mekabel tuma, needs a toch. It needs to be a receptacle. We talked recently about the male arrows, the female arrows, right? Only the female arrows are mekabel tuma because it has a toch. Okay. So if left to our own devices, we would have said that you want to take 2x4s and you want to throw it on top of your sukkah as chach, by all means, what's the problem? Okay. The problem becomes the following. Now, I'm not talking about 2x4s right now, meaning because you're going to confuse me with halach lamaisa. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't do that yet. I'll talk about it more tomorrow. But right now, let's just talk in terms of conceptual. Right? We're just dealing with the concept. The problem is the following. If let's say I took 2x4s, I'm just using it as an example, and I laid it on top of the of my sukkah schach. So then I'm going to start thinking like this. You know, my sukkah looks great, sturdy, structurally sound. And what's serving as my schach? I have 2x4s. You know, let's be honest with each other. What's right now? And when I go inside my house, what's over my head? Also 2x4s. So now I'm thinking to myself, I got 2x4s in my sukkah, I got 2x4s in my house. I don't really see the difference between the two. You know what? It's a little bit hotter here. My house is air conditioned. Okay, everyone, let's move to the house. And if I start making my schach using the same material that I start making my house, so then I'm not going to be able to differentiate between the sukkah and the house. And so what the chacham, this is a concern of the chachamim. And so therefore, we're going to introduce ourselves now to another gzera. And that is the gzera of tikra. That I can't use for my sukkah, the schach, that I would have used as building material for my house. That's in concept basically what we're talking about. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Short Mishnah. Misachachin min nesarin divrei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says you can use your nesarim, your beams of wood, as chach. Okay. What is Rav Yehuda basically saying? No gzera. But we'll hold on, though. We're a little bit early in the discussion. Rav Meir says, no, you can't. Nasan alan nesar shu rachavar ba'at tvachim. And then the Mishnah makes a statement that is unassigned. Meaning an anonymous statement that if I have a neser, if I have a beam which is 4 tefachim wide, ksheira, it's fine. Ovalat shelo yishan tachta, but you can't sleep underneath this beam. Okay, this anonymous statement of the Mishnah is enigmatic because it says first and foremost it's fine, and then it says but don't sleep underneath it. Well, what do you mean? If I can't sleep underneath it, it sounds like it's not good tzchach. And why would the Mishnah say it's fine? So stay tuned, we're going to discuss. I mean, Rashi already kind of gives it away in the Mishnah, but stay tuned as we're about to discuss. Okay. Amar Rav. So, we have a Mishnah, but before we really analyze the Mishnah, first we're going to introduce ourselves to Machlokas Amarayim. Machlokas Benesarin Sheish Bam Arba. Now, in our Mishnah, there's a debate between Rav Meir and Yehuda, that's clear. How wide a beam are we talking about? So, we're talking about where the beam is 4 tefachim wide. And that's why I say, when I say 2x4, you're really going to have to change your thinking about what kind of beams they were dealing with back then. Talking about beams that are 4 tefachim wide, 2x4, 4 inches. 4 inches is, right, approximately 1 tefach. We're talking about 4 tefachim. 4 tefachim, approximately somewhere in the ballpark between 12 to 16 inches. Much wider than the beams that we typically use, but fine. Machlok has been a sum sheish behem arba'a. Your amir is luk zeres tikra, Rav Yehuda leis luk zeres tikra. Where, typically back then, that's what the size of the beams were that they used for the roof. And Rabbi Yehuda will tell us, I don't hold of xera. Meaning, there just simply is no xera. Do we have this in the Gemara and the Mishnayos where we have Tanaim? We just simply say, yeah, there's no such gezeira.
But do you consider
sure
it still got a permanent structure?
That point is excellent. The Gemara doesn't make it, but I like it. It's very good. Rav Yehuda is consistent with his position of Diras Keva. Okay, it's an excellent point. But the way the Gemara formulates it is that he doesn't hold of Gzeiras Tikra, and Rav Meir does hold of Gzeiras Tikra. Being again, let's go back to that point, being that this is the same type of material that I would use to make the roof of my house. So Mali Sukkah, Mali House. What's the difference? So therefore, Rav Meir says, I can't use beams that are 4 tefachim wide. But according to Rav, once the beam is less than 4 tefachim wide, fine. Fine according to everybody, because nobody uses beams that are that wide to make their house, and so therefore it'd be fine. Shmuel, however, says that if it's not 4 tefachim wide, so there's a machlokas. But once it gets to 4 tefachim wide, divrei hakol psula, so according to everyone, it'd be possible. According to Shmuel, everybody holds of Gzeiras Tikra, even Rav Yehuda. Ein b'amar ba v'afilu pachus mishlosha. Now the Gemara says, now within Shmuel's position, well, hold on one second, I don't understand. If it's not 4 tefachim wide, it's a machlokas? I understand. Let's say the beam is less than 3 tefachim. You mean to tell me that that's good? Hakana ba'alma ninu. That's twigs. I mean, I don't literally mean twigs. But in other words, you're talking about pieces of wood, not building material. Less than 3 tefachim. Like, what should be the problem with that? So, I'm Rav Papa Hachi Kamar. So, Rav Papa just simply modifies the statement of Shmuel. Yesh behem arba divrei kol psula pachos mishlosha divrei kol ksheira. Look, 4 and above, everyone says pasul, gzeiras tikra. 3 and below, or I should say, below 3, everyone says it's totally fine. It's just kanan ba'alma. But my time of kanan ba'alma ninu. Ki pligi mishlosha arba are, when anywhere within the range of 3 to 4, Marstava came to last new Shir Makom Lo Gazrinan. So Rav Yehuda's position is from 3 to 4, it's still insignificant. It doesn't have a Shir Makom. It's not significant. Well, Marstava came to Nafkul Mitaras Lava Gazrinan. And Rabbi Meir will tell you, no. Once the beam is greater than 3 tefachim, so now it's greater than the Shir of Lavud, it means it's somewhat significant, and so therefore the Chachamim made Gzera. Okay, quickly recap, and then we will end. End today. So again, we touched on some really tough Tumah Tahara issues. We talked about the use of vegetables towards your schach. The Mishnah says that not only vegetables no good as schach, it's considered avir, it's considered like air, because it's going to shrivel up. We dealt with a difficult Rashi. Rashi says vegetables are not edible, and that's why vegetables form a roof. What does that mean, it's not edible? So Tosfos, an explanation of Rashi, says, because we're talking about vegetables and we're not mukshal akabal tumma. They didn't come into contact with liquid yet. Okay, that's a defense of Rashi's position. We spoke today about yados. We spoke a lot about yados today, that when the stem is connected to the fruit, so the stem is also going to be makabal tumma as a function of being a yad. So can I harvest stalks of wheat to throw on top of my sukkah? The kernel itself is a food. What about the stems themselves? That was a major discussion today and a major debate. And then finally, we get on to the using beams as my schach. So the Mishnah brought down a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and we are now learning a sub-machlok is between Rav and Shmuel within the machlok is between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. I'll repeat this at the beginning of tomorrow, but just simply quickly to reiterate. According to Rav, once the beam is 4 tefachim, so we have a machlok is between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda holds of Gzeiras Tikra, Rav Meir does not hold of Gzeiras Tikra. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could use a beam even 4 tefachim wide. Masha ein kein, according to Shmuel, if we have according to Shmuel, once the beam is 4 tefachim wide, consensus, Gzeiras Tikra, you cannot use that as your schach, because Mali schach, Mali bias. Anywhere between 3 and 4, that's where the machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda exists. Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine. Ramir says it's not fine. The Gzera extends to a beam that's 3 tefachim wide. Once less than 3 tefachim, kanem ba'alma. They're just simply, it's just pieces of wood, and that you could use as your schach.